Welcome to a brand new episode of 1 in 20,000. Last month, we spoke about inter-abled couples and got the perspective of Ms. Sangeeta Goyal, whose husband has a rare medical condition. This month, we are going to continue exploring how families change and cope with a rare diagnosis. Mr. Iftikhar Zia is parent to a well-educated and able son who has a rare medical condition. Mr. Zia is now a patient advocate at ORDI and shares his journey as a father. Welcome on board. It is just so great to have a chat with you, considering the kind of work that you're doing, and also that, and also how you raised your son. And the first question that I would most definitely ask you is, your son is a highly educated, independent person now. But yeah. When was he diagnosed? What was he diagnosed with? And what were those initial months like for you as a parent? Could you shed some light on that?
What my son has is termed as ataxia. Mm-hmm. And currently still remains as an undiagnosed one, because all the available tests he has gone through, and nothing concrete on the numbering as far as the ataxia numbers are concerned has been confirmed for him. So as such, you know, it is considered as an undiagnosed case of an ataxia. Ataxia affects the gait movement mainly. There's a poor coordination of the limbs, and then as it progresses, it affects the speech and eye movements also. And each ataxia has a different progression rate and what it affects and all that. It is like any other rare disease, you know, it is a rare disorder. There isn't a specific classification for which by a patient a person can go saying that this is how it would affect him. So this was a late onset for him. It was not by birth. And in fact, I had suspected there was something wrong with him for some time, maybe a year or so before the diagnosis took place. I kept asking him if there was something physically wrong with him. Every time he stumbled, every time he dropped things, every time he fell down, in situations where normal kids don't, you know. And every time he said no, everything is all right, he used to say. In my heart, I wanted to believe what he was saying, but I knew there was something wrong. When things were becoming very apparent, I guess it was around 2010, when he was in his 11th standard. That is when we got his brain MRI done, and which showed that there was a diffuse cerebellar atrophy. There was no known cause, there was nothing in the family, and it was not even heard of name kind of ataxia. When we were told that he has ataxia, it was a new name for us. There was no medical understanding also. So it was that particular stage was, you know, it was a very difficult time for us. One was being informed about the rare disorder. Two was the continuous running around which took place involved between hospitals, doctors, and diagnostic labs. And third, the most important concern at that moment for us was that he was going to his 12th standard, which was an important landmark period for any student's life. So that initial, mm-hmm. I would say it was quite to a year, which was a struggle for us, because for me and for him, it was, we did not know whether to pursue the medical things at that point or whether to give up that and then concentrate on his education. You know, it was a real turmoil for us. But somehow, you know, it was, I would say, it was a joint effort, I would say, until there was a support from the school side. There was a drive from my son himself to overcome this particular situation, and I was, as a parent, I was getting more and more concerned about him clearing his 12th standard. You know, that was as a usual for a parent thing, that was a concern for me. So that was a real turmoil period. 1 year, I would say, was a real it was a real tough time for us to get things organized and keep moving ahead without getting moved away from our focus.
So it was a life-altering event, not just for your son, but also for your family. Could you let us know a bit about who else is there in the family, the immediate family?
See, I have a daughter, and my son is the elder one. I have a son and a daughter. So my daughter, she's doing architecture. She's studying architecture. So it's a family of four of us, and we have a joint family kind of a stuff. We have an extended family which is quite big and supportive as such. But then the first impact would always be the mother and father, So what happened was it was a life-turning thing for Zoeb as well as for me, because I had to make a choice of either going ahead with supporting him or going ahead by taking care of my own livelihood kind of a stuff. So it was a very tough call which I had to take when I had to give up my job. A year I continued trying to juggle the job as well as taking care of his education and taking care of his medical needs. But then I had to take a call at one point. It was either me or him. So I opted to step out of my career and devote more time to his education and his career growth. And I guess it was a good decision I took, because he performed after that, and I also have a feeling that I did a right move at that moment, because if I had taken a call on progressed on my career, then I might have had to let him down.
That's a very tough decision to take, and I would want to know more about the dynamics within the family. Sometimes, when a sibling has a particular medical condition, and in this case, it was delayed onset in the sense that the condition wasn't by, well, not necessarily by birth. The symptoms started much later. So the siblings sometimes would feel that the parents are paying a lot of attention to one sibling. That's not always the case, but it could be the case.
I understand. Sure.
So what was your experience like?
See, actually, what happened was my son was at that particular moment, it was he was trying to back out, or rather shut himself off from everything kind of a thing. It was a difficult stage for him also. Basically, it's a teenage period when you realize that things aren't going the way they're supposed to be going. And then he moved away from all his friends, and he kind of backed out from the family this one also. In the sense, there was a little bit of a gap which came up between him and his mom and sister also. So it was a short period, I would say, because that was a time when he wasn't coming to terms with the situation what has cropped up for him. But luckily, for me, I didn't find that sibling rivalry or that difference being felt or something like that, because it was an immediate acceptance by the family that he needs the support. So it was on the other hand, I would say, like people trying to actually coming forward to help him, and he trying to move away from that scenario. Probably he felt that people are having a kind of a sympathy on him or something like that, which was not exactly the case. It was more, I would say, more of a concern rather than a sympathy. So that, yes, it did crop up, but not the way you say that there was some sibling finding it, I'm giving attention to one person and all that. It was a joint effort, I would say, because my wife also, like how I went around silently without discussing with anybody or without trying to disturb anybody, she was going silent in a different way and trying to understand what was going wrong with this guy. So it took us some time for us to again regroup and again come back to that again. It was, luckily, I would say that Zueb was a very fun-loving kind of a fellow, humorous, and it's a funny kind of a guy who is always happy and jovial and making fun and all that kind of a stuff. So suddenly you see a guy who's playful like this. He was a quite active guy. He was a swimmer. He used to play football. And he used to do gymnastics, apart from all his other tricks and all that. He was a very active guy and very jovial kind of a fellow. When you see a guy like this suddenly going into a shell, it is difficult for others to understand what's wrong. So that kind of a thing we had within the family. But luckily, everything worked out well. Now they are again back to pulling each other's leg and having fun with each other, and things go around like as if everything is normal kind of stuff.
I think Zoib had to grow up much faster than other people as well.
Every situation or every challenging situation, I would say, not just a rare disease, any challenging situation is normally faced or handled by people in different manners. There's no set rules on saying that at this age things could have been handled and that age things could have been handled. We have seen smaller children who are becoming achievers and performers, and matured guy is just crumbling down with just one slightest downfall. So I think it differs from person to person. I wouldn't really say it's because of a rare disease or something that things change.
Have things changed since you're talking about change?
Things have changed a lot, I would say a lot, since the time it started. Actually, that was a period of I would say a confused teen phase he was going through before the diagnosis. Plus, he was trying to hide his physical issues, which had actually made it had made him a mess. He did not have many friends. He wouldn't talk to anyone properly. He had a bad mood constantly. He would get angry quite easily and quite often. The constant medical rounds, the negativity surrounding the disorder, and the fact that there are no cures, these had an impact on not just his mind, I would say mine too. On the back of our minds, sometimes giving up was an option which used to keep cropping up in our mind. And I guess anxiety, tension, and depression are all a part of ataxia itself, I guess. It may be the case for other rare disorders too, or maybe all other health issues also, I would say. So these tensions and anxiety and depressions, I think it could be found in other people, but more so with something which is related with a brain neuro disorder. I think these are common problems, I guess. So one can sometimes see a huge swing in the moods. It is just from 0 to 100 kind of mood swings are there sometimes. But now things are different. He's more calm and composed. He thinks straight most of the time. He has become more focused, kind of knows what is workable and what is not for him. He's clear on his career, education, and goals. And he has a lot of positive ideas too. He's gotten close to family and friends. He even lets his sense of humor show sometimes. And he goes out often with his friends and cousins now. His journey so far from school to college to now teaching profession has not been easy, I would say. It has been a difficult one. He's been helped by a few, let down by a few, ignored by a few. That has been the journey so far. Now he plans to start his PhD and is exploring topics, options, and mentors at the moment. So it's a lot of a difference. It is a totally different guy what he was about 8 to 10 years back and today.
Life doesn't stop just because you have a rare condition. That's what
Exactly.
I'm getting from what you're saying.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
I would want to go a bit deeper into your experience as a parent. How have you grown as a parent of a child who is abled, able-bodied, and then also parent of a child who's different from the norm, who has a rare condition.
Yeah, see, in fact, I would say just not a father and a son equation. It converted into a kind of a partnership between us. We started understanding the strengths and weaknesses of each other, a kind of, we started respecting each other's weaknesses, because he was also understanding that there is certain things happening to my personal life because of his issues which have cropped up. And that was one of the things which was sometimes keeping him a little slowed down, because he was sometimes cropping up the question that, that my life is getting spoiled because of his conditions. But in our journey so far, both me and him, I think we have learned quite a few lessons. In fact, my son wants to start motivating others, especially the students. It really is not easy, but sometimes determination can make you perform far better than your imagination. When one is faced with so many difficult situations, it is not easy to stay focused and keep moving ahead. But then you are left with no or little choices. Ignore or conquer the worries and keep moving ahead. Stories from families of a person with a rare disorder are nearly the same, I would say. Probably the name would be different, the location, time, the hero or the heroine, and the villains in the story might be different, but the theme would remain the same. Parents have lost their jobs, their businesses, their earnings. All their energies have been drained. They would have probably disassociated themselves from the societies also. I come across a lot of families who go through this particular situation where they aren't, even if they want to accept what is going on, they are helpless. They can't do anything. They can't go ahead. Just accepting it is not solving the issue, kind of stuff. And at ORDI, the Organization for Rare Diseases India, we meet some amazing people. It's either the persons with rare disorders or their parents who are determined to create an awareness, help in connecting people, and basically, working on finding solutions for the entire community. So, as a parent, individually, if you personally ask me, there would be a lot of stories or there are a lot of situations what I have gone through. I had to give up my job. I had to manage with some part-time jobs, but then we have no other choice at that moment. So you take a call. That's it. That's what I would say, and that's what I would say to the parents also, that you take a call. You take a positive move ahead and keep moving ahead. My message, to all the parents also would be, not just give up. Don't give up at all. Just keep moving. Just be in the mainstream. Network and explore. There's always something or someone out there for you. You can make your mark and carve a path for yourself. If not this, something else is going to work out. That is what I have gone ahead with that idea.
That's a brilliant way to live. Indeed, that one must not stop and keep going forth. That is definitely a motto that is going to inspire a lot many people, I think, who are going to listen to this podcast. I would want to bring in one aspect of this, and that is you are already working with parents of people with rare conditions at ORDI. I
Yeah.
believe you're the state coordinator, so you look at the macro picture, but you also know the micro experiences, the
Exactly.
day-to-day experiences
Yeah.
of people. What
Yeah.
I wanted to know from you is there is no solution,
Yeah.
because most rare conditions are incurable.
Exactly.
It breaks down families, it breaks down lives, it
Yeah.
breaks down relationships. That could
True.
happen. That could most definitely happen given the adversity of the circumstances.
True,
But
true.
You spoke of solutions. Now, what are these solutions that you're hinting at? Because right now, well, we are clear that there is not going to be a cure. Perhaps one can think of it this way that you put on a brave face and you move on. But are there any other solutions that you're particularly referring to?
See, at the moment, I wouldn't say there are some ready-made solutions for anybody for any rare disorder, because some of the rare diseases and disorders, they do have medicine kind of a stuff, but it is not reachable. There are certain branches of rare diseases for which medicine is available, but it's not affordable. So it is as good as saying, you know, it's making it making things more difficult for a person, saying that there is a cure available, it's not, but it's not affordable by me. So at ORDA, what the organization is doing is it's trying to build up a support system, at least to keep people up living with a hope that things are working, people are working towards a solution, people are working, people are understanding. You know, until recently, I would say people were not even aware of a rare disease. They did not know that there was something called a rare disease. And with the given names and the given terms and terminologies which are coming up, I think it is just in the recent years that the even the doctors and the labs and all are getting involved in this and trying to find out solutions. So what happens is, you know, when you have one case of, like, for example, ataxia, there would be hardly a few hundred people all over India. Might be people, numbers might be more, but since there is a lack of registry, there is a lack of connectivity, we are not able to find out how many else are connected. Same goes with all the other disorders. There are about 7,000, and the numbers are increasing day by day as far as the rare diseases are concerned. And each name is something which is, it's not even pronounceable kind of names which are being read out. So what happens is, you know, a person, when he is affected with a rare disorder, the first thing he would like to find out is who else is there with this particular situation. Because they can gel, you know, they can understand what exactly it is. Because if he tells me what he's going through, I really don't understand. Because suddenly he says one day he's having this problem. I don't know whether it is a digestion problem or it's a headache or what it is. But then probably with a guy with the same disorder would say that, yes, this happens. So we are trying to network. One is we are trying to create a registry. And second is, you know, most of the places what we have seen is the people come in, they get diagnosed with one particular issue, and they just disappear from the radar. They do not come back to the hospital again to check, because they know it is going to be a situation where they're going to be going up and down. Most of the parents, I wouldn't blame the parents as such, they do pursue for some time, but at one point they're forced to give up, because, you know, your support system is not there. There's nobody explaining to them what exactly it is. So at ORDA, as a umbrella organization, an all India organization, we are trying to connect people with different groups, support systems. At the moment, we are trying to build up that. And parallelly, you know, the organization is trying to work out with the government for a better rare disease policy and insurance policy, because these are things which are would be giving hope to the others that there's something working on. Probably the person also would feel involved in it. Otherwise, he's just, you know, cast aside, saying that there's nothing for you, because we have gone through this. I've spoken to a lot of people where people have gone through this. They've gone to 10 different hospitals, people who could actually afford. They've gone to 10 hospitals. They've gone to all over India. They have gone around. They have gone for alternative medicines. And everywhere they get an answer that there is no cure for this. This could be progressive. It could get worse. There's no positivity coming out from anywhere. So how long do you expect a person to keep going ahead? How long you expect a person to be motivated and fully charged? At one point, the energy levels have to get drained, right? So these organizations' work is, one is to keep this thing upbeat, give them hope, tell them that, yes, we are working in it, we are looking in it.
Indeed, it speaks a lot about our public system as well, and how the public system needs to change, how our concepts about ability, disability, about rare conditions, because not many people know about rare diseases, as you rightly
Exactly,
pointed out.
exactly. Because you know they don't know. See, either you see, they just term them as a challenged person. That's it. So I wouldn't say that it's wrong, but it's a slightly different one from a regular challenge thing and this one thing. Because what most of these rare disorder people live with is it's a progressive situation. So what is today, it could get worse tomorrow. If something is not done to them immediately and some help is not given to them at the moment, you know, they don't need sympathy. That's what I have seen. They just don't need sympathy. They need support. And there's nothing wrong in reaching out and supporting somebody. If you're bold enough to reach out and hold somebody's hand for a couple of days, probably you're holding a hand of a future doctor or an engineer or a lawyer, or you name it. Those guys have the stuff in them. They just need that guidance for the time being till they can come to, you know, understanding or whatever the situation is prevailing at the moment.
In the ideal scenario and situation, indeed, one would want a public system which works for people with rare conditions. And here I'm differentiating people with disabilities, because it is not necessarily somebody with a disability also has a rare condition. People with rare conditions, as you also mentioned, have
exactly.
Very different needs.
Yeah.
And it's part of their identity, but not their entire life being, which is something that needs to be communicated and needs to be, the dialogue needs to open on this.
Actually, there was a rare disease policy which was formulated.
Right.
And that gave a lot of hope to many people, I would say. There was a thing formulated and it was also conveyed, and working committees were formed, and people started collecting. You know, once when you find that there is some help coming and there is some work going on the other side, then the people start working on it. So that's what happened. Lots of hospitals and lots of doctors and all that, they started working on it and started collecting information on the some of the rare diseases for which some medicines were available at exorbitant cost, which I told you. Somehow, you know, the policy was put on hold, and it was a kind of a letdown for the people who were anticipating the medicines to come. And I hope, looking forward for this now that the government has again formed, I just hope that these guys again review that policy and bring it into force immediately. That would do a lot of help to these communities, at least for disorders and diseases where there are some medicines available and where there can be some food supplements given to them. Some diseases, some disorders, they require a food supplement which has to be given to them lifelong.
So what is then needed is also a public movement as such, and which is what ORDI is trying to build in its own capacity. I would just want to mention here that we, in episode 2, we spoke with the co-founder of ORDI, Mr.
Exactly.
Prasanna Tirol, and our listeners can access that podcast again. My next question would be on the extended family, because you told me that while your son was diagnosed, he got support from not just the immediate family, which is the mother, the father, and the sibling, but also the extended family. How do you see the role of the extended family playing in a situation like this? Many families in India still live in a joint setting. That might not be true in big cities where we have nuclear families, but somehow aunts and uncles and cousins can play a big role in bringing up a child with a rare condition. So could you let us know a bit about that?
Yeah, see, it is not, I by extended family I'm not talking about somebody living in a nuclear family or a joint family. I'm not not mentioning about that, because that actually doesn't really matter whether you live in a joint family or whether you live in a nucleus family. The immediate uncles and the aunts and cousins and all that, they do play a very supportive role in almost everything. Let it be education, let it be a growth of a thing and all that. So people who are well connected with their immediate extended family, you'll always find them to be happy and joyful, and there's always a get togethers happening and something, some activity going on kind of stuff. But nucleus family, when you talk about a people, I'm not talking about just husband and wife and children, they're kind of people who are actually excluded from the circle itself. That is a different scenario. Now, if it is everything is going well, and if it's going everything is fine, it's all right. But when you do have a situation like this, and I think there is a need, not just for the family, I would say the neighbors, the society, everybody has to kind of extend a kind of a small support. A support, I'm not talking about any financial support or anything like that. It's just a smile could do a lot of things to them, you know. They're being invited for every function, and you know that there is that person in that house. Even if he's invited, he cannot come, so you got to make arrangements for somebody to go and pick him up and come. These are the kind of background works and supports which really make a person start feeling accepted.
It would be really great to know some of the joyous moments and triumphs that you have seen in your life and with your children as a parent.
That's what, see, as it is for me, if you ask me, Zweb's performance right from that a total standstill in his 12th standard, to have come to a situation where he's talking about wanting to do his PhD in genetics or bioinformatics, and then discussing some topics in which he wants to pursue his things itself, it's an amazing thing for me. A guy who was wanting to give up his schooling in 12th standard, he just sat down saying that I'm not going to school. This is it for me. I'm going to drop out. From that point to coming to this level, and then thinking in terms of what topics to do for his doctorate itself, by itself is an achievement. See, he talks in places for motivation, and some of the people, in fact, take him to schools and all that and ask him to give a speech on motivating people, this one. And in one of the inclusive summit, he was a speaker and a host for the occasion. So these are his achievements. You know, this is a personal achievements for him. He does face his problems, but then everybody, I guess, in this particular situation, the situation on hand and how you overcame it is what the end result would be. You'll have to count. So these things have kept us pepped up. For me to think that, you know, I would have sat down and worked on his, you know, I'm working on whose mentors are going to be and which institute he wants to do his PhD. So he knows what he is. He knows he's got a progressive problem. He's working as a professor. I told you, you know, he's working as a professor, assistant professor of zoology. He's completed his BSc, MSc, and MPhil in zoology. He's done his BSc psychology. He has done, and he works as an assistant professor in a college. For 2 years, he has been working as a professor. But then, as things are slightly progressing for him, he's also wanting to get more into his research areas. And like I told you, you know, we don't have any differentiation now. We do attend all functions everywhere. He's there. He goes to his football matches. He goes to the stadium to the football matches with his friends. He goes for his movies, all that he enjoys. So I think these are all a little bit of joyous things for us to see that, yes, even given the situation what we are going through, he still is trying to manage to have a happy and joyful life.
That's such a heartwarming note to end this conversation with. Thank you so much for agreeing to talk to us.
I just hope this thing message reaches to others also, because I'm very, very particular that anybody who is having a situation on hand I feel that they can come out of it and at least make an attempt, you know, because you never know where you're going to succeed. Everybody is packed with so much of positive things in their own capacities. And I just hope that the parents or the supporters or the well-wishers tap those particular things and awaken those things for these fellows, because these guys are performers, Avantika. I have met these people. I have met these people and I've seen and I've been amazed to see the work these guys do. I'm just amazed. And I just pray, you know, that God keeps all these guys happy and cheerful and make them all achievers.
This podcast has been produced by Suno India, artwork by Priyanka Kumar, and music by Augustus Henry. As independent producers, we rely on you to deliver content that matters. So do log on to our Patreon page to contribute and keep us going.